This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Last Thursday, when the Alamo RMA revealed its proposal to do something about the traffic congestion at 281 north of 1604, there was a lot of public interest. Over 350 people showed up to take a look and ask questions. The big draw was to see how some of these new lanes are going to be tolled. If you have a question or a comment about the 281 toll proposal, give us a call at 210-614-8980, and you can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. And joining us to hash this out is Viana Davila. She's a transportation reporter at the San Antonio Express News, and welcome to the Source.
Hi, thanks, Stephen.
So you were at the event on Thursday. 300 people showed up. That's a lot of people. What were they looking at?
Yeah, it was actually more than 350 people that showed up.
There was jam-packed.
Yeah.
And the mood was what?
You know, you could divide it up. If there was one word I would use to describe or the theme, it would be questions. A lot of questions from people about how this plan will work, how it will affect not only their daily commutes, but their pocketbooks. A lot of questions about that. Obviously, there are people out there that are just completely against toll projects of any kind, and so this project, there were, I would say, you know, didn't survey everyone, but a feeling that the majority are just sort of right in the middle to opposing it.
They want more information.
They want more information. You know, a lot of people want solutions to their congestion, but they don't want to have to pay a toll to find that solution. But then I also spoke to some people who said, look, I don't want to pay a toll. I'm not excited about this idea, but I want something to happen, and it has to change.
Because what's the situation right now for people? If you live out there past Stone Oak or in 1604, what's your commute like? Is it like a nightmare?
You know, if you head out there today, if you're headed, let's say, north on 281, past 1604, just past Sonterra, you're gonna hit traffic lights. It converts from an expressway, a controlled access expressway, to a divided highway with traffic lights at the major intersections. So there is a huge amount of congestion. I think an average of 88,000 cars a day, and that's projected to explode to over 200,000 by 2035.
And the plan is to do something about that, to streamline the traffic flow, but that takes money.
Right. So the project, for myself, I try to think of it in three parts. Part of it will be adding a northern interchange, connecting 1604 to 281. That will be non-tolled. The middle part is going from about Sonterra to Stone Oak, and there'd be expressway lanes. And some of the expressway lanes would be free. And some of the expressway lanes in the middle, TxDOT and the Alamo Regional Mobility Authority call them managed lanes. Those will be tolled. And then north of Stone Oak to the county line, Bear Comal County line, all of the expressway lanes will be tolled. And this is the part of the project where I definitely heard the most either concern or flat-out opposition, because all of the expressway lanes will require a toll to use. Well, you know, what TxDOT and Alamo RMA say is that what's there today, which is a divided highway with traffic lights, will remain. Those lanes, I think it's four total, will become the frontage roads or the access roads. So technically what you're using today will still remain. It'll just be pushed out. However, because they'd be access lanes, the speed limit would be lowered, I think, from about 60 today to 45 to 50.
All right. Our phone lines are open. If you've got questions or comments about the plan to toll 281 north of 1604 with these managed lanes, we want to hear from you. 210-614-8980. And let's get Bennett on the line. Bennett's called in. Bennett, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. Well, I would say, first off, the design of it, the highway design itself is poor. It is not it's a poor design from the standpoint of traffic flow, accessibility, and utilization. It's a hodgepodge of entries and exits, and it's not anything conforming to the interstate standards. Second, the history of this is quite convoluted. In the year 2000, there was about $50-odd million appropriated by the then Bush administration to bring 281 to interstate standards north of 1604 to north of Evans Road. When Rick Perry became governor, his chairman of the commission, Rick Williamson, pulled that money and gave the whole highway over to a Spanish toll road company called Cintra, which is a subsidiary of a huge international company called Grupo Ferrovial. So, and since then, there's been a lot of give and take and back and forth. Now, toll roads as such are not a terrible thing. In the Northeast, where I'm from, I grew up with toll roads. But the toll road who built the toll roads.
Right. So, can you get to your point, Bennett?
Yes. The point is that this is a political payoff, so that certain groups can have unlimited right to provide tolls, control traffic on a key highway, and that's the worst part about it. And so that it's not a competitive toll road or a toll road that's going to benefit anyone other than the people who collect the tolls and who are going to raise the tolls to an unconscionable rate because they will have a state license to do that.
All right, Bennett, thank you so much. So Bennett suspects that there is some sort of political hanky-panky afoot. Is that a common suspicion? We have a lot of people who feel that that there was some nefarious trade-offs going on here with the state government?
I think there are people out there that do feel that way. And just to relate this to something that people might know, Cintra is the company that, along with American Infrastructure, as Zachary Corporation, built the extension of the Texas 130 toll road. So people familiar with that. And in the past, Cintra did want to come in here and build some of these projects. That didn't happen then. In this case, legislation has to happen for certain roads to be eligible to be developed by private companies. Today in Bexar County, as far as I know, 1604 is the only road that actually has had legislation passed. So that could happen. That doesn't mean that legislation couldn't happen in the future that would allow for private development.
We can only base things on what we know right now.
Right.
And so as we know right now, Cintra, Spanish conglomerate, not involved in 281.
As we know right now, what the Alamo RMA has said is that, look, we have to put toll lanes on part of this project to be able to build it out.
RMA is going to collect the tolls. They're borrowing money. Once they see that this is working and they can make projections about what the traffic flow is and how many people are going to use the toll lanes, then they can borrow money based on that to expand free lanes. Is that right?
Well, I mean, it's a $458 million project. They have $238 million, I believe, now. But they already know they have to pay back about $230 million in debt.
All right. We're going to continue this conversation. We've got emails. We've got phone calls. We're trying to unpack what's happening with the tolling of 281 north of 1604. We want your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. And this is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies, and with me today is Viana Davila. I can't even say my own name today. this thing about 281 and the toll proposals, a lot of questions coming in from the emails, callers. So let me ask you about this one email here. Has there been any estimates about the travel time lost during the construction phase that's going to be happen? How does this time loss relate to any time savings? Who will lose time and who will save time? That's a kind of a complicated question, but it does bring up the fact that construction is going to be a mess.
Well, I mean that's the nature. That's the nature of construction. I mean, first, let me say I don't have an answer to you for you at this point, and I don't even know if the Alamo RMA could say for certain either. How long, how each individual driver or segment of the corridor will be affected. There was construction of the interchange, the southern interchange connecting 281 and 1604. That finished last year, and that took quite a while.
And that was made people's commutes not pleasant.
Right. But then now you could argue, well, now you have an interchange. So, I mean, that's I'm sure there will be disruption. I'm sure there will be slowdowns, but that's what happens.
That's what happens. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. If you want to join the conversation, give us a comment, question. The number is 210-614-8980. Eder Hyatt has called in. Eder Hyatt, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, I just want to make the comment that it seems to me that a toll road is anti-business kind of a situation. The reason I say that is because there's such a long distance in between exits and entrances onto a toll road like this, because you have to collect tolls each at each entrance, that there's very little opportunity for gas stations and fast food places and other food suppliers and so on and so forth. In a regular freeway situation, you usually have an exit every 2-3 miles at the most. And in toll road situation, you have an exit every 10 miles or something like this. And so there's opportunities for much less businesses. It seems to me that there ought to be a lot more opposition to toll roads.
All right, Eder Hyatt, thanks for those comments and observations. Does that make sense, that the way they build toll roads? I've seen it in Houston and places like that.
Sure.
That seems to be the way that they do it. Doesn't necessarily have to be that the way.
Right. I mean, you know, and I want to be honest. I'm still looking at the design of this. You know,
because it seems like the exits are already there because we've got so much development already.
Right. You know, for now, if I understand this correctly, if you're headed north, one of the first exits, if you're headed north again, might be the Stone Oak exit. But I want to double check that before I say for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There will be. Now, remember, this project's only about 8 miles long. So actually, it's a little less than 8 miles long. You are going to have exits throughout. There will not just be one exit to get off of this thing. Now, again, will the layout be the same as it is today? No. But you also have to look at what's there today. They have the Super Street, which is kind of difficult to explain, but it's sort of a series of left-hand turns to try to improve traffic. And that requires a lot of people to do turnarounds to get to businesses. And already, you know, business is booming out there. And there are some people, for instance, who say, look, the congestion is a bigger hindrance to business than
it is, because you don't even want to go on the other side of the highway if you can avoid it.
Right. You know, the North San Antonio Chamber of Commerce is one of the organizations supporting this.
Okay.
I think it will help congestion.
Back to the phone calls. Bob from Bernie has called in. Let's get Bob on the line. Bob, welcome to The Source.
My comment was that we have a lot of privately owned and operated toll roads in Texas, and my concern is that if a private company can prove that a toll road is a financially feasible project, why is it that the state of Texas cannot prove the same thing and finance those toll roads with the people of Texas through bonds, issues, or whatever?
Okay, Bob, and you're going to be getting some toll roads going out towards Bernie on 10 also. Are you aware of that?
Well, they need something out there. It's IH-10 is around the rush hour is just really slow. It's like 1604 right now, going from 1604 to past Fair Oaks Parkway. It's just horrendously slow.
So, right. So you're familiar, sir, with the proposal to put the managed lanes in the middle from 1604 to Ralph Fair Road, then?
I understand that. Is that financed by the state of Texas, or that's not a privately financed?
That is not a privately financed. No, not privately financed.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I'm fine with anything that will help the traffic if it's not owned by private companies. I'm against private companies operating our roads and condemning land and taking land for a private venture as far as eminent domain. And I think if something is feasible, it should financially feasible for a private company, it should also be financially feasible for the state of Texas to do the same thing.
Okay, Bob, got the point. Appreciate you calling in. Thanks a bunch. He makes a great point there about why doesn't the state of Texas just do this with its financial heft? Why does it have to rely upon an international corporation to do it?
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, I understand people's concerns, this idea of a private company and coming in and taking over the roads. I just want to maybe unpack a real example to maybe explain how this could work, and then people can decide what they think.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the 130 extension, the one between Mustang Ridge and Seguin, that's, again, the one that Sintra came in and built, the state still owns that road. the state still owns that road, essentially all of the risk. Their argument is put all the risk on the private company. The private company paid to build it. The private company pays to operate it. And the private company does keep the majority of the toll revenue, but some goes back to the state. And when the lease is up in 50 years or so, the state will still own it. And then the road will be, you know, finished, and perhaps by then the toll revenues will have paid back the cost to have built it. So, you know, TxDOT is making
the
argument.
But they take a risk. Look at that, the highway that from Seguin on.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. But again, the TxDOT's argument is, yeah, but it's the private company taking the risk. We didn't spend a penny on that road, and we're not spending a penny.
And you can see
now,
there's not a whole lot of traffic on that road.
Right. I haven't gotten the latest numbers, but obviously that's been an
issue. And
then
there was a toll road that they built down near Laredo that was supposed to go to the bridge, to Columbia Bridge, and that didn't work. And I think the state eventually took that over.
I think, you know, I'm perfectly honest, I'm not as familiar with that project.
Right. Okay, let's get a caller on the air. Evan is called in. Evan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. My concern is actually kind of similar with Bob's in that I'm concerned about private companies kind of skimming quite a bit of profit off at the expense of the public good. In that, I can kind of imagine, you know, a lot of people to whom a toll road is not a financial issue, you know, people of privilege or just higher income people, you know, they'll just be flying by in the toll mm-hmm. lanes while, you know, your average Joe or, you know, lower income people in poverty, you know, are kind of, you know, less on the wayside. So I was wondering, have there been any proposals to kind of expand this from a non-toll perspective, you know, through taxation mm-hmm. and not privatization.
All right. Evan, thanks for the call. Viana?
Well, if we, you know, if we look at 281, which again, currently there's no private developer that's part of it, but let's just say if you look at the issue of we want more non-toll lanes on it, you know, John Clamp, who's the chairman of the Alamo RMA board, has said, well, we're looking for funding to maybe increase the number of non-toll lanes on that northern half. You know, it's a small chance. You know, I don't think anyone wants to necessarily build toll roads. If they can find the money, they will try to reduce the number. But then you have other people saying, look, there's not a lot of enthusiasm for raising taxes. You know, in fact, yeah, there's a lot of opposition to that.
Sure.
So what are, you know, those folks are saying, what are our options?
So are people going to have to get decals that slap on their car and then they have it and put money in an account and have that deducted? Or how does it work to be tolled itself? We're not going to be throwing quarters into a bucket, right?
Right, right. Those days are over. This would be automated entirely. So either you would get some kind of toll tag. There's different systems that operate those throughout the state. So it's almost like you top it up. You know, it's a debit that it's automatically reads it, or cameras will read your license plate and send the registered vehicle owner a bill.
The thing is, like myself, I rarely drive out there. And so if I have to go for some purpose mm-hmm. and I don't have that tag, will I be penalized, ticketed? How will that work?
No, again, it would just a camera would read your plate and then you'll get a bill. Now, if you don't pay the bill, then you'll run into some problems.
Okay. All right. Let's get another caller on the air. William has called in. William, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I live out at Canyon Lake out there. I drive that road every day. Mm-hmm. And when I get past Stone Oak Parkway, the road's all the way open on 281. I don't have that much problem. I don't understand why they want to build a toll road out there to begin with. Who's complaining?
Okay, William. Is there going to be a lot of development out there? Is that the projection? I guess he's gone. So, Viana, so do you think there's going to be a lot of development? Is that the issue?
You know, I mean, I think there's projection that there will be more development. It's sort of a chicken and egg thing. Will a better road spur more development, or is that development going to happen? So we need a larger road that can handle the congestion levels. You know, it depends on which side you're on about that. You know,
it's hard to tell.
The numbers do show it, and he is correct.
That's what's caused all this. It's this out of control development, lack of planning. You know, they say the first caller we had, Bennett, he's like, where was the planning? You know, not a lot.
One, and I just want to say something real quick. The gentleman that just called is correct that there is the traffic drops off a little bit north of Stone Oak. It's worse south of that. So I think some people are asking the question, well, why are we getting the all toll lanes? But then, you know, officials are projecting that the development out there will boom.
Okay, let me get Al on real quick. Al, we're short on time, but you're on the air. Go ahead.
Basic reason that we're short of money and have to be build toll roads is because the state legislature, in order to say new taxes, diverted the highway money to the general fund and did not keep it dedicated as people thought it was.
Okay, Al, thanks for those comments. So he's saying that they're diverting funds from the state highway tax. So is that happening?
Some funds are diverted. For instance, I was at a press conference yesterday where one of his suggestions is that the motor vehicle sales tax, which goes to the general fund, should come back to the highway fund, be exclusively used for the highway fund. There are diversions that are happening. That's an ongoing issue.
And isn't it as a part of the Prop 1, when we vote in November, there's a constitutional amendment, mm-hmm. and that will end that practice and will make all the
I think of that in a separate issue. That would take money that goes to the rainy day fund, the oil
and
gas.
Yeah, but isn't there also a provision in there that would end the diversion of highway funds away from that fund? I think so.
We're
going to get more into this as we get towards that November vote. But that Prop 1 is going to be something that a lot of people are going to be paying attention to and wondering if that's going to be a long-term solution or at least get us fill in some of the potholes in the Texas highway system.
Yeah, I mean, it's projected to generate about $1.4 billion, I think, a year. TxDOT, last I'd heard, says the need's closer to $3 to $4 billion.
Yeah, still a shortfall. We're still going to be having this discussion. I couldn't get to all the calls and all the emails, but thanks for everybody who joined in. We'll continue talking about what toll roads will mean for San Antonio in the future. And I definitely want to thank our guest, Viana Davila, transportation reporter at the San Antonio Express News. You know, Via is part of your name. That's Anyway, thanks for joining us. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about Wallace Hall, who was impeached in Austin, a UT regent, what that means for Texas and what that means for UT after the NPR news break. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Stay tuned.